Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you. The legendary Jim Lampley sitting down with us here. He's going to be co-hosting an exclusive viewer chat in real time throughout Saturday's David Benavidez, Dave Morrell World Championship on an HD live stream. The card gets going at 8 o'clock. We're having a bunch of fun out here. What an honor it is to talk to you, Jim. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. My privilege. Good to be here.
So you were telling us, I was hearing the music was going on at the same time. You were at the Sonny Liston, Cassius Clay fight in Miami?
Very first live prize fight I ever saw. I lived on Sunset Drive between 97th and 98th Avenues. I think I was a 10th grader, or maybe I was either a 9th grader at South Miami Junior High or a 10th grader at Southwest. I think I was a 10th grader at Southwest that particular year. I saved lawn mowing and car washing money for what felt like months, might have been several weeks, but whatever. I bought a ticket, a single ticket, to go to Cassius Clay versus Sonny Liston, February 25, 1964, in the Miami Beach Convention Center. My mother drove me over and dropped me off, and went to a bar probably or a restaurant in Miami Beach and waited for all of it to end. And I watched what was at that moment in time the biggest upset in boxing history.
Did you feel it? Did you realize it, like, in that moment, even as a kid, save up for it? Like, you obviously had a love for it. So did it feel that big at that time?
My motivation was Cassius Clay. I was in love with everything about Cassius Clay. And I wound up, I had a kind of a mentor sitting next to me. There was a middle-aged guy who was obviously deeply intense boxing fan. And he made certain that I understood the level of upset that we were looking at. You know, he was guiding me through the whole fight. I'll never forget the moment in round four when Clay landed a right hand on Liston's cheek, and the cheek popped open a little cut, and blood spurted out. Sonny wiped it with the glove and looked at it and had this look of extreme amazement on his face. And this middle-aged guy who had now become my instructor in boxing turned to me and said, "Son, this might work out the way you wanted it to."
Wow.
And sure enough, it did. So, you know, I went home that night to 97th Avenue and Sunset Drive and got up on the roof of our crappy rented tract house and shouted, "I've upset the world, I'm the greatest of all time," et cetera.
Did you see, because it was said back in the day, like, I watched like a PBS documentary about Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, like, is his rise up in Miami. Like, what do you remember about him being in the community and just being embraced in South Florida?
Well, the single biggest thing I remember, because he was my chosen number one hero in life at that moment, was that 2 days later he stood on a street corner and told three boxing writers that he had changed his religion, he was changing his identity, that he would no longer be Cassius Clay, he was now Muhammad Ali, he was a member of the Nation of Islam, etc., etc. That was so jarring to me. That was so difficult to accommodate. I had fallen in love with this guy who was using a slave name, Cassius Marcellus Clay, to taunt the white establishment. I loved that part of him. How's he going to taunt the white establishment as Muhammad Ali? Well, you know, obviously that took it to another level, but at that time I didn't fathom much of anything about that, and I felt as though I was losing something. He was taking something away from me by changing his name from Cassius Marcellus Clay to Muhammad Ali. Later, of course, because of my genesis in boxing, later, of course, we met each other and became friends. And there's actually a spectacular moment in my life when I was the MC of the United States Boxing Writers Association Awards Dinner in New York in 1988. And I had a daughter, child of divorce, who was living in Manhattan, and I brought her to the event. And at one point I had to find somebody to watch her in the green room for 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon while I went and did some business for the dinner, and I looked around the green room and said, who can do me a favor and watch and entertain Brooke while I'm gone? And Ali stuck up his hand and said, I'll do that. So
Muhammad Ali, the babysitter.
He babysat my daughter for 2 or 3 hours. Then he, that night, he called her up from the audience to come sit next to the two of us on the dais, because he could tell that she was not comfortable with the people she was sitting with. And he brought her up, and he sat her on the dais next to me, and with the whole crowd out there watching people get awards and stuff like that, he did card tricks and magic tricks for her. They were in their own world. And in the cab on the way back uptown to take her back to her mother's apartment, she turned to me in the dark and said, who was that man? And I said, I said, wow.
Now, you thought the world of him before that moment.
Oh, my God.
But after that moment, you're like, I was right.
Well, it was just one of many moments,
right.
And they're in the book, which says to me, your life is astonishingly lucky, special.
Right.
It's a gift. You have to appreciate every moment of this. She turns to me in the cab and says, who was that man? I said, Brooke, that's a long story, and when you grow up completely, you will learn it. I'll tell you some of it you'll read, et cetera, et cetera. I'll just give you one thing to take to bed tonight. She was 8. I said, to take to bed tonight, he's the most famous man in the world. And not only is he the most famous man in the world, you can't dispute it. There's no logical argument against that. I could say that to somebody who hates his guts, and they would agree, yes, he's the most famous man in the world.
Right.
And she said, Dad, I just spent several hours with the most famous man in the world, one-on-one. I said, yes, you did.
Man, that's really cool. That's... Now, you know, you've been around boxing your whole life almost. I have been a big complainer of boxing that we don't get to see the fights that we deserve as fans of boxing.
You could have said that in 1921.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And then that's where I was getting at. But these four guys that are fighting for these belts, it is amazing to me that in no division works out like this, where they fight this close to one another.
Every once in a while you see a fight card that comes out of the Cracker Jack box and you say, wow, look at this. The sport did something right.
Right.
People, you know, people did their job. The promoters got the right fighters to fight each other. So this is a great card with a great main event. And I think there's every reason for people to be tremendously excited about Saturday night. And the main event is a classic style fight. A southpaw technician with punching power against a monster destroyer with even more exceptional punching power.
Right.
Jim Lampley joining us here. He's got a new book coming out, It Happened. You were going to make a return to broadcasting for a Miami card, I think, for Teofimo Lopez, George Kambosos. I remember being in the room when we found out Teofimo had COVID, and it all kind of sent things spiraling. But, like, was there ever a part of you, Jim, that just, like, missed out on getting that opportunity? Because that was going to be, you know, this undisputed lightweight championship. You were going to be back. And then all of a sudden it kind of turned into a circus where, like, Holyfield was back in the ring and whatnot. Like, the whole thing and domino effect went away. But, like, I was almost as excited to hear you back on the call as I was for the fight.
When HBO left boxing in December of 2018, I reflexively assumed that one of these streaming services or another boxing vendor would make me an offer I couldn't refuse, and I would wind up calling boxing matches for a few more years. Didn't happen. Crickets. Nothing
happened. That's crazy
happened.
To me.
And then eventually, through the auspices of a manager in Los Angeles with whom I've broken up now, I signed a contract with Triller and for an extraordinary sum of money to call that fight. It was a walk-in entry contract. It was Triller's way paying me a lot of money to basically say to other services, okay, we've got him. This is done, stuff like that. And I never called a fight. So I have not called a fight since December 8, 2018, the last card on HBO, which was built around Cecilia Bricus, the number one woman fighter in the world at that moment. And now I work for PPV.com. I'm a pioneer in a new medium of communication, which is the collectively shared chat, a community enterprise. During the fight, I chat. The three other people who are working for PPV.com, Chris Algieri, Dan Canovio, Lance Pugmire, they chat. People who have accessed the pay-per-view of the fight join in, and they can chat back at us or agree with what we say or whatever. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm talking boxing with Chris Algieri, that kind of thing. And so this is, I don't know, about my seventh fight with PPV.com, and it's been a great experience because it brought me back to ringside, brought me back to talking to people like you.
Like, I guess from that standpoint, you thought that somebody was going to come along. Like, what do you think it was, Jim? Because, like, I haven't heard, like, as a big boxing fan, I haven't heard anybody close to you, man. No one touches what you bring to fights to fight fans.
Well, look, I'm 75 years old, okay? So logic says whatever we do with regard to this guy, there's not a lot of future in it. He's not going to be calling fights when he's 85. And that's true. I don't think I would allow myself to verge into that territory. I did expect that someone would want 4 or 5 years of the voice that has more currency and recognition for boxing fans in this arena right now, but that didn't turn out to be the case. And I think there are possibly some personal animosities that go into it, but I don't know that for sure because I'm not going to ask anybody, you know, hey, do you hate my guts?
I mean, like, if you're doing a promotion or you're putting together a card, I mean, I don't understand. The first person I would call is the voice most associated with boxing in our era. Well, and that's the way it's always listen, it's always been that way for me. Like, I turn on a fight, and I'm like, oh, who's on the fight? Of course.
Well, maybe the people who are making these decisions now disagree with you and think that the guys who are calling the fights are better than Jim Lampley. That's one possibility.
Right.
Another possibility is, oh, he's 75 years old. He's just going to be doing it for the paycheck. How much work would he put into it? Ask the people at PPV.com if I still work.
Right.
I think they will tell you that I do. So, at the end of the day, thank you, Fred. That's very kind. That's Fred Sternberg, ladies and gentlemen. He's very funny. He'll be back next Thursday night at the Ramada down the street.
The Ramada.
But it's a mystery to me.
Right.
And I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a disappointment. It is a disappointment to me. I would like to have had other opportunities to call fights and to still be calling fights. But the universe decided this. So the universe decided PPV.com. I went back to Chapel Hill to the University of North Carolina and taught for 5 semesters. I taught a communications course, which was titled Evolution of Storytelling in American Electronic News Media. It was about news media, not sports media, but they're both in some ways live reporting, etc. And they're, they have similarities. And one of the things I taught in that course repeatedly was recognize, as you're examining all this, how changes in institutions, changes in personnel, changes in economics and finance, and particularly changes in technology can influence changes in the way stories are told. PPV.com is a perfect example of what I was talking about in class.
Right.
Because of the chat capability, because of that piece of technology, now you have a new storytelling mechanism, which is viewers sharing the experience of talking about the fight with me and other, quote, boxing experts. So so I was prophetic in telling my students to pay attention to this kind of thing.
Well, it's going to be a hell of an experience. If you guys want to experience Saturday night with the great Jim Lampley, PPV.com is where you guys could do it. An exclusive viewer chat in real time. David Benavidez and David Morrell. This was a thrill, Jim. Thank you so much for giving
us some
time. We appreciate it, and looking forward to this weekend.
Love you, Miami. Talk to you later.
We'll take a break. Back with more after this.